Welcome to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub. This show is about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Perhaps you tended to a younger sibling's cut finger or babysat a neighbor's child. Maybe you were thrown into the fire and became a care hero during a medical crisis. You may care for a parent, spouse, sibling, a child, or a friend, but the challenges are the same. Getting the tools you need to navigate the maze of unfamiliar options can be overwhelming. I know. I have been there. I didn't even know what I didn't know. I am here to help you with all of it. No care hero topic is off limits. I am here to share with you concise, actionable information, as well as my fresh perspective about Alzheimer's and providing dignified care through the end of life for anyone with a life-altering diagnosis. So grab a cup of your favorite beverage, sit back, and let me help you on your care hero journey. We will talk and share, we may laugh, and we may share a tear or two. And we will always share a cup of comfort. Hi, everybody. I'm Trish Laub, and welcome to A Cup of Comfort with me. This is all about you, the care heroes. If you've tuned in before, you know that you are a care hero, someone who has chosen to step into their responsibility and the great caregiving unknown. Each and every one of you providing care for another is a care hero. And this show is all about you, the care and care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Now, over the holidays, I had an amazing experience. I signed up for a virtual group session about which I knew very little. I left that experience feeling different, more specifically, empowered. I want to save the details for my guests to talk about, but it loosely involved the concept of art therapy, but it was much more. So it got me to thinking, what is art therapy really? Do you know? Because when I really thought about it while prepping for the show, I realized I kind of knew, but I really didn't. You see, if you'd asked me about music therapy or dance therapy, I could probably tell you exactly what it is and how it works. I've danced to music my whole life. I teach a fitness movement class based on it. And I used music to connect with my dad, who was living with Alzheimer's. But art therapy? So I kind of laugh because anybody who knows me knows that I am not an artist. I can barely draw a circle. So thank goodness I have other skills. So I want to spend some time talking. When I was prepping, I spent some time talking with my guest. And what she shared is that art, like movement, is one of the first forms of expression even before language. And I think that every parent knows that the value of art is about the way their child sees the world around them and sometimes the representation of how they feel about it rather than its artistic sophistication. In short, some children may become artists and others like me, not so much, but there is still great value in the simplistic artwork that they create. Art is a transformational process for the creator and for the viewer. It is a non-threatening, non-verbal form of communication that can convey the artist's energy with each shape and color better than words alone. You see, art, like the connotation of words, can evoke emotion and helps our emotional and spiritual body to speak when words are inadequate. Symbols bind us to the universal language of humanity's joys and struggles. Just think emojis. When I did the group session, I learned that creating art is not just for the artist. It is for anybody who wants to express themselves, reduce stress, and connect to their own spirit. And I learned that no artistic experience or talent is needed to benefit from the experience, as I have absolutely none. While I was having the experience, I kept thinking that it would be so helpful not only to all the care heroes out there listening, but also to those for whom they provide care, no matter how much or how little each participant can actively participate in the experience, because merely being present during the experience can affect change. It is something that could be done together to create a shared experience and benefit both in similar yet different ways. My guest today merges art, myth, symbolism or symbology, spirituality, and mindful practice to empower others on their journey. Now, before I introduce my guest, I want to remind everybody that some of the information from today's show will be available in a downloadable PDF on the Care Hero Radio page of my website, Trish Laub, that's T-R-I-S-H, Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com after the show. So, Reverend Lindsay Butine is the president and founder of the nonprofit Bridges to Empowerments. She is the author of the upcoming book, Blooming Out of the Rough, that details some of her health challenges and how she used art and the study of symbols to empower her healing process. Blooming Out of the Rough offers a blueprint to restore one's equilibrium when facing illness or other life transitions or challenges. Reverend Lindsay practices integrative ministry by helping people to formulate a plan to support their best physical, emotional, and spiritual health for their personal circumstances. Welcome, Reverend Lindsay. I'm happy to have you here today.
So, Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, it's a pleasure. As I told the audience already, I attended one of your group sessions with very little information. And then when we spoke after that, you shared with me how you were inspired by art. Can you share some of what you shared with me with the audience?
Yes. So my relationship with art began when I was hospitalized for long periods of time. Before I became ill, I avoided art. I have a neuromuscular disease that made it difficult to use my hands. So art actually was a stressful thing for me to do. But then after having to be hospitalized, I started to see art as an act of rebellion. Because although I felt powerless over my body and where I was, I could determine what I looked at. I started drawing pictures of flowers that my nurses would hang on the walls of my hospital room. These pictures became a way that I felt more empowered and could be seen by medical staff on a level that was deeper than my physical state. It gave me an identity and a way of connecting that wasn't based solely on what was wrong with me. Of course, being young at the time, I was often frustrated that I couldn't meet my educational goals that my peers were. And I felt like they were often just passing me by. So then something happened that shifted my entire life. A hospital chaplain, a man who later would become one of my great mentors in this work, he listened patiently to all my frustrations. And then he told me that he would hear hospital staff remarking that they lingered in my room because they felt recharged in it. And he looked at my paintings and he said, "Flowers don't do anything. They just are. You are like flower." Well, this changed my entire self perspective. I saw that I could just be, and this was enough. If I allowed myself to truly bloom out of the rough in my own life, I could just be. So this introduced me to the whole idea that what the art I was creating had actually a wisdom that I needed. And so after this point, I started drawing all kinds of nature symbols and listening to the messages I needed from them. So this was how I came into the world of using art, symbology, and listening for their messages.
Well, I want to take just a second since you've introduced that and say that this experience, which I did not describe, was that I went on to a group session with Reverend Lindsay and she literally said, "Okay, now draw a line at this diagonal." And then while I did that and thought about that a little bit, she went into the symbology by culture and religion about the animal that we were talking about in the situation, in the session that I did. It was the courage of the lion. So I just wanted to provide a little more context when we go on and talk a little bit further. Is there a particular animal, bird, insect that inspired you the most?
I felt like the dragonfly has been one of the most sacred animals for me.
And can you tell us a little bit about why and about the symbology of it?
Yeah. So let me begin with the moment that inspired the dragonfly and its message, which I see the dragonfly as being about impermanence. And so how it all evolved was I was in a hospitalization and I was fighting pneumonia. And this is a common cause of death with my disease. And at the time I had a roommate that had just had a stroke. So while I was struggling to breathe, she was struggling to form words. And we were kind of joined in this communion of silence because for different reasons, words were just too hard. Now, although supposedly there's a curtain between us, of course you can hear everything that goes on in the room. So I knew that she was having a bunch of cognitive testing. She knew that I was having medical imagery to just see where we were. Now, at the end of the day, my roommate's doctor came in and sat with her and her husband to break the news that her cognitive function tests were not good and that they didn't think that she would improve. Her husband at the time cried that and said that although she had survived, he still felt like he lost her. The doctor, I remember gently explaining that she was never going to be the wife that she once was. She had reached a static point. And I remember feeling very sad that nobody asked her if she too was frustrated. And I also wondered why they were talking about her like she wasn't in the room. So then after they left, my doctor comes in, same somber tone, and he tells me no improvement in my condition. My lungs are failing, the infection's taking over them. So we're both left in this heaviness of our very bad news. And we both know that we heard each other's news. So in this space, she started to tell me about how frustrated she was that her brain didn't work the same way. And I have to say, as I listened to her, this just awakened all my worries. What if my lungs didn't recover? What would happen? And I knew the answer, I would die. So I had to just kind of go back to the silence. And I started thinking about the dragonfly and how I wanted to draw it. And I realized this goal might be just like so many others in my life that were uncertain. Maybe I wouldn't achieve it. And I also knew that this could be some of my last moments inside of my body. And so although I didn't know what this crisis would mean ultimately to my life, I felt that my only real power was to just enjoy being in the body I had now. So thinking about the dragonfly, this dragonfly lives confined to water before it morphs into an insect that flies. And in thinking about the lifespan of the dragonfly, I saw that, you know, nothing stays static. Everything really is temporary. And I just couldn't let tests capture my fate. They were just one other moment in time. So at this point, I turned to my roommate and I said to her, you know, everything is temporary, even this. One way or another, our current state's going to end. Maybe we get better, maybe we won't. It's not going to be like this forever. And then she just sat silent for a moment and then burst into this really like big laughter. And she's like, I really like that. That is so true. Someday I won't have a brain at all. And at that moment, I knew that the test had completely underestimated her. And that is how the dragonfly message came to be.
Wow. So let me ask you, were you aware of the symbolism of the dragonfly prior to that experience? Or is that just a realization that you'd had?
So all I really knew about was about the dragonfly's lifespan because I just had been attracted to drawing the dragonfly. It wasn't until I was in divinity school that I wanted to do my master's on this project of doing these messages and that they said, well, to have this be your master's, why don't you start studying the symbolism throughout all the different cultures and religions? So that's how I added that segment in at the very end. So actually it was the drawings, the kind of message that I got from the drawing, which to me was just about like the impermanence of everything. And then I added in the cultural symbology last. But what I found so interesting about it is how much the symbology throughout time correlated with what I felt from drawing the symbols.
Can you maybe share some of the symbology of the dragonfly?
Yeah, so the dragonfly is interesting. It's been throughout time a symbol of change. In the East, the dragonfly is associated with the more passive side of change. For instance, in China, the dragonfly is associated with summer, and this is the changing, of course, the life cycle. So again, a passive change. These are transitions that, you know, we really can't do anything to stop them from occurring. It's just the cycle of life. And Japan was actually once known as the Dragonfly Island. So the dragonfly is very important in their symbology. It represents power and courage. And these are both traits that I think you really need to deal with these changes in life that you have no control over. Now, in the West, it represents the more active form of change. This is the type of change that comes from our own actions that we take. And so American Indians saw it as the force behind activity. The Hopi Indians believed that it had shamanistic power, and it was really using the dragonfly to channel spiritual energy to affect the world around them. So I think it's very interesting that we have that yin and yang between the East and the West in the symbology of the dragonfly, and that transitions are composed of elements we control and elements we must learn to accept. This is the active and passive forms of change, which ultimately lead us to learning about impermanence.
And I think that's very powerful. So I want to go back to the session I did. It was with the lion. You know, I grew up thinking, oh, the lion is courage, you know, the strong lion and everything. But there was something so very different about it and more powerful when I drew, which I'm not an artist, while Reverend Lindsay was speaking, and she talked about the symbology through culture and religion of the lion. And somehow this was going in auditorially. It was coming in visually because it was a Zoom session. I was doing it tactily. She's doing myth. She's doing symbology. She's doing spirituality, mindfulness. And it was a really, really powerful experience. So my question for you is this open to the public? Are your group sessions open to the public?
It absolutely is. I do some individual, and then I do it for the community that is open to everyone, because there's just a lot of transitions going on right now. And I think everyone could use a little bit more support.
And I know if they go to your website, which is bridgestoempowerments.org, O-R-G, that they can get information on it. And you and I talked recently about the possibility that you may be recording some of them to fit into some other, you know, people's caregivers, care heroes, schedules and things like that. So that may be something that is on the table. Because, yes, you know, care heroes don't always get to pick what time they're available to do things that are good for them. And I hopefully the whole audience can understand that, you know, this is not something that's just valuable to you, but to have the person that you're providing care for, even if they cannot draw a straight line like me or a circle or whatever, just to maybe you guide their hand or maybe you help them, you know, maybe they're just drawing their own thing and that's cool because it's all coming in multisensory. And I think that's really, really important. The book. When is your book going to be available? No pressure here.
I know, right?
No pressure. But is it in the works? And where are you with that?
Yeah, it should be. It's in the end stages. So it's in the editing process. I have made a New Year's resolution that I'm going to stop adding more animal symbologies because I keep doing that and it slows it down.
I completely understand that. So maybe this year?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that's something else that people can go to your website and sign up on your contact list for notification when that's going to be available as one of your group sessions. So we have a couple minutes here before we got to kind of wrap things up here, but can you give me kind of a like one word name of an animal and what maybe their symbol means? Because I know you've done a lot of them. I've been on your website a lot.
So another one that I love is the bear, which is about going within to nurture yourself.
Ooh, nice. Hibernating, maybe, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. You're getting the symbolism. Yeah. And that's so interesting, too, because we do just instinctively know this symbology of what animals invoke within us.
Well, and, you know, some of them, I guess I could maybe guess, but others not. So I have a couple here that just, if you don't mind me sharing them, was the giraffe was gaining perspective. And maybe you do, I don't know, maybe you do sessions with other symbols with it. I don't really know, but you had the hummingbird was challenging times. The elephant mindfulness practice. I love elephants. They're so meaningful. So I do want to say again, let's have it come from you this time, how they can reach you.
So if you just go to bridgestoempowerments.org.
And empowerments has an S on it, just for clarification there. I'll add in that Reverend Lindsay is on Facebook and Twitter. And if you go to the PDF on my website and download it, those handles are there. And, you know, direction for how to get to her. Is there anything else in the next minute or two that you would like the audience to know that maybe you haven't already had the opportunity to share?
Let's see. You know, what I would like to really make a note is that you don't have to be spiritual or religious to do these practices. The Latin root of spirit is breath. Breath gives us life. And a life that is connected to others through our shared air. In this way, spiritual practices are simply a way of grounding ourselves in what connects us. So no matter what your beliefs, feel free to join.
I love that. So just again to say, if you go to bridgestoempowerments.org, you have a blog. You offer, I believe, in addition to the sessions that we're talking about here with the symbology and everything, I think you offer some other types of sessions. Counseling services. One thing I know I didn't mention that hasn't come up yet is that pre-pandemic, Reverend Lindsay was going into hospitals and doing this work with patients there, which I think is really super cool. And for those of you watching, hopefully you were able to see some of the images about that, that show that. So I just think it's very, very powerful and important work. And I appreciate you coming to share it today. Again, I know I can't say it enough, bridgestoempowerments.org, where you can reach out to her. You can go to her contact page to get updates on what's going on. And the downloadable PDF on my Care Hero Radio page of my website, trishlaub.com. And I just want to thank you again for all of your information. It's powerful work. I hope people out there listening will look into it and have an opportunity to be empowered, whether they're the care hero or the person for whom they're providing care. So thank you, Reverend Lindsay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk soon. Okay. So while you're on my website, I would encourage you to share your care hero story. And possibly Reverend Lindsay can even go there and share it there as well. So, and I can post that. Your stories matter and I want to share them. So reach out to me. I'd love questions, comments, the topics that you want to hear about. I've got many topics, interesting topics lined up. I'll tell you about that in a minute. This show is about you, so I need your input on that. Fill out the contact form on the Care Hero Radio page of my website or email me at info@trishlaub.com. I would love to hear from you. Be sure to let me know where you're from and maybe what episode you listened to. I want to thank you all for tuning in today and sharing this time with me. Please join me the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern. Next time on January 26th, I'll meet you here and we're going to talk about when hearing becomes a challenge with my guest, Kathy Russey. So have you faced that challenge yet? Have you had older parents that have gone through the hearing loss? If not, I'm pretty sure you're likely to experience that at some point in your life. And honestly, it was one of the number one things I was asked for when I announced that I was going to do this, A Cup of Comfort. And people have expressed their frustrations with knowing how to encourage their loved ones to pursue hearing loss and hearing aids and all of the issues that people have had with hearing aids. So I encourage you to tune in. Kathy has been working in the hearing field for a very long time, and she has a wealth of information. And yes, we will have a PDF download for that as well. Before I go, I want to do a public service announcement. I think I did it last time. I want to remind you again that to be sure to take care of yourselves and to go to your annual screenings. I know that we're sitting in the middle of a pandemic. I do. But while you put so much time into taking care of someone else, it's critical to your ability to continue to provide the best possible care for them by taking care of yourself. So please don't put those appointments off due to the pandemic. I know I did for a little while, and then I scheduled them all. And I will share with you, because she gave me permission, my sister did her mammogram, and they found extremely, extremely small cancer in both breasts. And she was able to treat that fully and successfully in 3 months only because she went to her annual screening. So please, 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 I promised my sister I would share that. So please. And before I go, I want to hear each and every one of you give me a resounding, I am a care hero. I know that is something that some of you are not comfortable with, but you are care heroes. So yes, please say it and mean it, because it is in fact true. And again, before we go, I just want to share the Hearing Health is coming up. The show after that is on palliative care services and hospice care, as well as Dignity with Death. The one following that, I have a different kind of care hero. I'm not going to tell you who she is or what she does yet. We'll be covering wound care, some alternative-ish therapies that have been, I have actual experience with, and it's really beneficial. And then I've got a whole bunch more coming after that. So tune in, keep coming back, and remember that you are a care hero, and I'll see you on the 26th. Thank you for listening to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Laub, and for your care hero courage. Tune in next time on Transformation Talk Radio as we explore life-changing care hero topics to assist you on your journey. In the meantime, I would love to hear any tips or insights that you've taken away with you today. So head on over to trishlaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com, and leave a comment, a question you would like answered, or a topic you'd like to hear about in the future. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe to my newsletter. So raise a cup and let's toast to all the amazing care heroes out there giving it their all. Until next time, remember that you are true heroes.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.